So the famous question is, so you find out your wife's pregnant, and what's the first thing you do? You hope that it's a boy, right? You're sitting there davening, oh, I hope it's a boy, I hope it's a boy. Are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to daven that your pregnant wife gives birth to a son? Although I personally have three daughters first, I highly recommend having girls first. It makes it a lot easier. Definitely makes it a lot easier. You know, they do everything. You just sit and watch them and they know how to do everything. But having said that, most people, before they have the first girl, they want a boy. So are you allowed to daven for it? So the Gemara in Brachos talks about the concept of a tefillah shav. The Gemara says that if a woman is pregnant and it's past 40 days of the pregnancy, where again they believe that the first 40 days, then in the olden times they thought that the first 40 days, you know, the vlad wasn't shel kayam or wasn't determined, rather if it was be boy or girl. But so let's assume it's past 40 days, and now you want to daven for that the child should be a boy or a girl. Are you allowed to do that? The Gemara says no. This is called a tefillah shav. Since it's already determined what the outcome is going to be, how can you daven? It's a worthless tefillah. It's a tefillah which would be forbidden. It's a wasted tefillah, and therefore you are not allowed to do that. The good sounds from the Gemara, and you are not allowed to do that. The obvious question.
Up to 40 days.
Let's assume up to 40 days would be fine. In the time of the Gemara.
When she was
Oh, that's my next question. So what about Leah? You're not only is a great question, it's the Gemara's question. The Gemara says, how could Leah have daven? Never knows the famous story with Leah. She realized that she was going to have an extra shevet, so therefore she davened that the baby in her stomach should turn into a girl, and it became Dina. That's everyone knows the famous Medrash. So the Gemara asks this question. So how was Leah allowed to daven? And what does the Gemara answer? The Gemara gives two answers. First, it says, Ein maskir in mais nisim. Now that's a nace. You can't ask questions from Nisim. Okay, fine. Not, there's nothing really to talk about that. That's answer number one. Answer number two, it was before 40 days. Before 40 days, that Leah only had this thought within 40 days, so therefore it hadn't happened yet, but therefore it sounds like from the Gemara, straight up, you're not allowed to daven that something which is called a tefillah shav that already happened, you know, something where the outcome was already determined, you can't daven to change that. Isn't everything we have already determined before? So that's a good question. We have to assume that we have certain bechira, that we have a certain free choice and free will, and there are some things which are going to happen. You don't know if you're going to win the baseball game yet or not until you actually play the baseball game. But once the game is decided, and just because it's Shabbos for you, you haven't heard if the Mets won or lost, you can't then daven on Shabbos, oh, I hope that after Shabbos I turn on the TV that the Mets won. That's because the game's already over. The game's done already. So, yeah, it probably feels sharp always in general to assume the Mets won, but that's a separate issue. I know where you're going there, but the point is that it would be a tefillah shav. Fine. There is a medrash in Parshas Vayikra where there is a conflicting mandamar. It's not brought down in our Gemara. The mandamar over there in the medrash, I forgot who it is, but one of them Moran says that you actually are allowed to daven for a tefillah shav. And what's his proof? From Leah. He doesn't give the Gemara's answers about Leah, but it says, oh, you see from Leah, Leah obviously davened that she was already pregnant, she switched the gender. There was, I guess the Medrash is presuming, according to that man Amar, that it was already past 40 days, and therefore you see, on the contrary, that you are allowed to daven from Leah, that you are allowed to daven at Tefillah Shav. How do we paskin halacha l'maisa? Shulchan Aruch, of course, paskins like the Gemara. In Siman Reish Lamed, it says that amispalo masha avar, if you daven on something that already passed, could go in Shenichnas Lira, gives an example, you go into a city and you hear screaming from the city, and you daven, oh, I hope that's not my house. And everyone always hears Atzala. What's the first thing you do? You think, Nebuchadnezzar, I hope it's not my house that Atzala is coming from. But it's too late. Atzala's already there. So you say, I hope it's not my house, is a tefillah shav, because Atzala's already doing whatever Atzala is doing, saving whoever it is. So it's too late. The Gemara also brings the example of a woman who's pregnant, and it's after 40 days. So the Gemara says, if you say, Yiratzun Shetewit Ishti Zachar, I daven that my wife should have a son, and it's already past 40 days, Harei Zu Tefillas Shav. This is considered a Tefillas Shav. So we'll do
it. Gemara something that says that you shouldn't count certain things because God give you a bracha on that.
Oh, it's some women ayin, exactly. The Gemara talks about measuring your grain, also similar idea. That's really the next halakha of Shulchan Aruch. If the person is measuring their field, so I mean, if once he counts out how he has 40 kernels, he shouldn't daven. Once he's already doing the measuring, He shouldn't say, oh, I hope there's 45. You know, but he's already in the middle of measuring, so there is what there is already. So once you're already at that point where you're already muddad, the Gemara says, you've already measured, you shouldn't then daven for something. Only when it's samim and ayin, only when it's hidden, it hasn't yet been determined yet, that's when you're allowed to daven. So usually we go down, we try to delve into halacha. Here we're going to go sideways. This chabur a little bit differently. Where else in halacha do we have this concept of tefillah shav? It pops up in halacha in many weird places. Place number one, let's say you have a nebuch, someone who's a chola, a sick person, and it's Shabbos, and they're 2 hours away, or whatever, an hour away, outside of Tchum, far away. Are you allowed in your shul to make a mishaberach for this very sick person on Shabbos? You have to have a chashash, nebuch, the person died, or perhaps the person got already miraculously better. Are you allowed to do it? This is a big dispute in the poskim. The Maharil brought down in the Shari Tshuva says you are not allowed to daven for that chola on Shabbos. Why? Because it's a tefillah shav. He says because you don't know what happened. It's possible that you're davening that a dead person should get better, but the person Nebuch was nifter in the first part of Shabbos.
Is that why the shul's davening a whole bunch of names in one shot?
So is that, I'm not sure if that's the reason why. The minhag is still, it would still be a problem, even if you say many names. If you say this chola's name, you know, Yaakov ben Moshe, and Yaakov ben Moshe was already nifter, or ben Sarah, Yaakov ben Sarah, so and Yaakov was already nifter 2 hours earlier, it would be a tefillah shav. Oh, so the Shari Tshuva, himself brings down others, brings from the Nachal Shiva, who says that's ridiculous. You can't play with this idea. He says, if we know that he was alive going into Shabbos, we could assume that he was alive, and even if he's an hour away or 2 hours away, you're not going to know about it. So we have a kind of chazaka in general, but therefore the Shari Tshuva says you're allowed to daven for it. It's not a tefillah shav. I saw it brought down in Marim Shik, says you should kind of like make a stipulation. Like, if the chol is still alive and needs a refuah, then this Misha Berach is for him. If he's dead, then there should be nothing.
I know,
it's a hard to sheet to understand.
You could be davening refuah, and while you're davening, the person could have died later.
Correct, but the thought is, I think on Shabbos, so I was thinking about this also, I think the thought is on Shabbos, you don't know about it. So there's a longer period of time. Yeah, there's always a chance that the chol is going to die, and before they send out the email, it's going to be 20 minutes to tell people.
I mean, it's always going to happen.
But Shabbos, you have 24 hours. It could have been, so you're already talking about a longer time. So even if you have chazakas, the maril may say, well, it's been 12 hours, you haven't heard from anything because they're an hour away, therefore it would be a problem.
You see,
in Shabbos, you're making mishmer, no one says that. Yeah, so halacha l'maisa, the Ramah seems to not pass like this. Maril, it says if it's a misukin, there's someone who's very, very dangerously ill, you can daven for them on Shabbos. These are snippets. These are, each one is its own 10-minute chabura. So if you want to get me out in 10 minutes, you have to do each one short. But it's just, you see, a concept of tefillah shav pops in halacha in many interesting ways. Reason number two is you have nebuch, if someone is very, very misukin, he's got a disease which Rachmanu Litzlan, the doctors, he's in hospice, and Rachmanu Litzlan, the doctors say there's no way he's going to live, and you know, it's at the end of his life, are you allowed to die for him to get better? So that's a tefillah shav, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, brought down in Mishamei Simcha, and he says that it's better to die and it should be good for him. Whatever it is, everything should be tov lo, it should be...
That's improvement so many times to be wrong.
Correct. So that's why obviously you have to know how to use it. You have to ask a mora hora and a doctor, obviously, or maybe both, or someone who's both, you know, what the proper line that is. But I think there'll be times when most doctors will say that this person, there's no chance he's going to live, and it's a day or two before he's going to die. You know, sometimes you know.
You can't die either.
Oh, so that's a separate sugi. Are you allowed to die from to die? So in some cases you would if it's to alleviate pain. That's case number two. Case number three, where you find this is a fascinating Rav Moshe Feinstein. In a tshuva, he talks about buying life insurance. And in that tshuva, he talks about buying life insurance, a very famous tshuva, where he says you can't just rely that Hashem is going to take care of you. And he says the same thing with parnasa. He says you can't sit at home and twiddle your thumbs all day and say Hashem is going to provide. Maybe the Hashem, God will provide. Who's God? The father-in-law. But if you don't have the father-in-law to provide, you know, so then you're going to say, you can't just say Hashem is going to provide and do nothing. You have to do your ishtadlus. And Rav Moshe says it's similar to this concept of like a tefillah shav. You can't just say that, oh, Hashem, help me in a way, like make me just drop money from the sky and like, you know, make me have money. It's a tefillah shav, says Rav Moshe. And he connects it to this case of davening that your wife is already pregnant, 3-4 months pregnant, to say, oh, I hope she has a boy. It's too late. It's already predetermined.
You
could daven your father should be wealthy 100%. That you could always daven for. But the point is that if it's something that it's not in the normal way of the world, Rav Moshe connects it to tefillah shav. Oh, case number four. What about you're about tshuva? Person's about tshuva, and his parents are mamish rishon, horrible rishon. And he now found the light, Baruch Hashem. So he wants to daven, and his parents should get better. His parents should become tzaddikim. He feels so bad. His parents are doing every sin under the sun. So he wants them to become bali tshuva as well. Oh, but we say, akol bidei shamayim, chutz mi yirashamayim. So it's not up to Hashem, kiviyachol, whatever that means. Meaning yirashamayim is up to us to create. One second. So if the question is, then it's a big problem. How can you daven that your parent or anyone, your friend, should become tzaddik? That's not up to kiviyachol Hashem. It's kiviyachol, as it's what it's up to that person. Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mi yirashamayim. That's up to Joe, your friend, your irreligious friend, who you want to become from. He's got to do that himself. So how can you daven that Hashem should do something then that Hashem kiviyachol won't do? That's called a tefillah shav. No,
to see the light. It's not.
Oh, so the Miltstocker, who's the 17th century, 1700s in Prague, he brings as a tshuva about this issue, and he says it's not a problem. You know why? He says because you see that Hashem sometimes takes away free will. We see that by kings and by other people. Hashem, right? Hashem, in the art of kings especially, Hashem takes them over and protects us by taking over the free will of the king, whatever that means. But the point is, you see already there are exceptions that not everyone gets free choice to do whatever they want. There are some exceptions. So therefore, you could daven that Hashem should make this person lose his bechira and that Hashem makes him into a good person. That's what the Me'il Tzedakah says. I think the Yekard Teferis argues, and you'll tell me what you think. He brings a riot from this past week's parsha. It's perfect. Connects into this week's parsha, last week's parsha. Now we all know in Shalach it's very confusing. Moshe only davens for who?
Yeshua.
So what's pshat? Only Yeshua. He adds a yud for Yeshua. Why not? Why does Moshe daven for the other spies? What's pshat? So I saw him say for Yekar Tiferes, I believe it's Rav Kistner, it's the Chavetz Hashon's father-in-law, I believe. He writes, he says that the pshat is because Akol bidei shamayim, chutz mi yirashamayim. Moshe couldn't daven for the other spies because he didn't know about them. He didn't know what was in their heart. What's he going to daven that, like, oh, they should be good? That's up to them. It's yirashamayim. They need to decide that on their own. You can't daven for them. How could Yeshua? Yeshua is his Talmud. And Habal Atayr Messiah, right? That if someone wants to do good, then Hashem automatically helped him. So Moshe knew, it's a beautiful pshat. Moshe knew that Yeshua was going to do good, so therefore Moshe davened for Yeshua because that was like Hashem was controlling it, but the other spies, he didn't know what was going to happen, so therefore Moshe couldn't daven for him because it would be a tefillah shav. Final issue is we know that by Avram Avinu it says Chamosi Alecha, right? By Sarah was very upset at Avram that Avram didn't daven first. So the question is, why didn't Avram daven that Sarah should have a baby? Right? Why not? Avram only davened for himself, he didn't daven for Sarah. Answer is, it's not such a nace for an old man to have a baby, but it would be a complete nace, it would be keneged the teva for Sarah to give birth. So therefore Avram could not daven for Sarah. The problem is that what does Gemara in Rosh Hashanah say? That Barash Hashanah Nifkida Sarah. And Rashi on that says that through tefillah. That Sarah was answered through tefillah. So now I'm all confused. How do you deal with this? So I saw this Sefer B'Nesivas Balacha. So the answer is I listen to this, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. I couldn't believe I saw this. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is different. In other words, there's no such concept. I couldn't believe I said this is pshat. There's no such concept of tefillah shav on Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because everything is like being recreated. It's kind of like, I'm elaborating. If you like it, it's mine. Or it's his. If it's not, you don't like it, you can blame me. But I think the pshat is that Rosh Hashanah is kind of like a new metzias. Every year on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem sets the world anew and sets what's going to be normal. So on Rosh Hashanah, before Hashem has set the normal procedure for the coming year, you can daven for whatever you want because nothing is considered tefillah shav. So I guess the chap is if your wife's 3 months pregnant on Rosh Hashanah, I don't know, can you daven that it's a boy? I don't know. We have you something to think about. Shkoyach. And the Khanai Mirakash from Eretz Gashbach is Akas Rafik Rahman and Sun Ritzman Shmar and Akhwaitman.